I mentioned that there are three ways to expand revenue. One is to sell more to your customers, another is to expand customers, and the third is to reduce costs and try to capture as profit a larger percentage of every dollar that you're selling. We have, in other contexts, sometimes talked a little bit about those other two strategies. I didn't go into detail updating the conversation about those just because I'm already way over the time that was generously allotted to me. If you're interested in some of those conversations, NCSAB is having a Randall Shepherd session at its national conference in December, and we will be continuing to talk about all of this. So we'll be sharing information about how folks can register to participate in the Randall Shepherd sessions at the NCSAB conference, and you would be welcome to join us there to continue this discussion.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
All right, Katrina, thank you. I know you are busy, and we greatly appreciate it. Again, thank you, and certainly keep doing what you're doing, because you're such a blessing to the program as a whole, and we'll be in touch down the line. So thank you.
Enjoy your day today, and Brian, you will be missed.
Thank you, Katrina. You've been wonderful. To Randall Shepherd for your tireless advocate. Thank you for all you've done.
Thank you. Be well, everyone.
Thank you. Goodbye. Okay. During Katrina's speaking, I heard a few chimes come in. Did anyone sign in late that needs to be added to the attendance?
Yeah, Jeremy Bailey is here.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Resume with the agenda. Next item on the agenda is the regulations update by the committee. Pass that on to Chairman Haley.
Am I here now?
Yes, you're here. Yep.
All right, thanks. I had trouble unmuting. Regulations update. The committee met, well, the subcommittee finished their part on the regulations update, and then the committee met to go over the edits. So to the committee, I just want to go over two items. We're prepared to vote on this today and then send it to the next step. But there were two things that we were going to rework, per se. The first, under micro market, and again, I'm talking to the committee on what we discussed. We were talking about whether you had to have you weren't required to have an on-site attendee unless your facility did $500 per 8-hour shift, and we were concerned about making that a requirement. So I reworked the sentence. Let me know if it works for you guys, or if you want me to rework it again. That particular sentence says, as it reads now, vendors must visit the facility regularly to ensure that shelves are stocked properly and efficiently. Vendors would not be required to have an on-site attendee, but a daily visit is recommended if average daily sales surpass $500 per 8-hour shift. We had discussed taking out the $500, but what I did was reworked it so that it's recommended that you make a daily visit if your sales are $500 per 8-hour shift, not required. The reason I left the $500 in as a benchmark, so you kind of know, okay, well, if you're doing this much in sales, you should be there daily. But it's a recommendation. So if you stock your shelves properly, you might not have to go in one day. For instance, my building technically is open 7 days a week. A micro market in that facility, you know, if my average daily sales were over $500, it direct the work required, I'm required to be there 7 days a week. That's the way I read it. $500 in there, kind of like a benchmark. So I don't know if anyone on the committee has a problem to rework that, or if it's good. It's pretty much put it there. I just changed some work.
I think it's fine.
Okay. The next one we talked about. I like to call it an excuse clause. There's two things between the promote transfer list and the incentive program, and the clause was that you had to be present at the annual meeting and any mandatory training or events that take place, and then it goes on to say that if you are excused, you must make up that mandatory training if materials, or PowerPoint. I'm not going to read the whole section, but we discussed putting a time frame in there to make up those mandatory trainings, and I didn't touch it. Cut the program if you don't make those mandatory events. So rather than adding language, I don't think it's necessary. It's already there. It's just, you know, you can't be part of it if you don't do the training. So rather than saying you have a month or 2 weeks to do it, you're just doing yourself a disservice. If, you know, come January and you can't get on the promote transfer list because you didn't, you know, listen to the recording of the annual meeting, you just did yourself a disservice. So I don't think it needs to be in the actual regulations. Anyone have a problem with that?
I had a question. This is Jim Ferguson.
Yes.
Having to do with, I don't know, because I've been kind of like, I'm trying to find out about, when I received a notice having to do with transfer list last year, the paperwork, wasn't there, and I don't know, I know I was still on the transfer list, which, I was told, but I don't know where I'm at with when we're talking about this matter having to do with training, because I had talked to Nick Fernandez about the I know that that the time that I go on that the AMC has purchased on a computer or a cash register with credit cards and such, and a computer, I guess, which I never had while I was there. So I'm unfamiliar with computers because I'm actually a computer illiterate, because I was supposed to get one at the beginning, but not going back into time. But, when I started, I was, Tom had mentioned something about getting a computer, and I guess I'm kind of lost having to do with what the training has to do with when we're speaking of this matter at the time. How would that work?
Okay. Jim, if I can interrupt you, that's a different discussion, and you can check
okay.
in with your field rep if you have a field rep, and if not, you can double back with Tyrell. There is no mandatory training on the docket right now. We're just saying moving
okay.
forward, if there is any mandatory training, some people skip out on it, but they want the benefits of the promote and transfer list and incentive program. So what we're doing is just voting on our regulations changes now. So and that discussion you just mentioned, you can take up with either your field rep or Tyrell at a different time. All right?
Okay. Yeah, that's why I just wanted to put my two, you know, meaning I didn't want to not say anything because I wasn't sure.
Yep.
Where
no, no problem.
Okay.
No problem. So you
go
can
ahead.
Check back with them, and they'll steer you in the right direction. There's nothing you're missing right now from our end of things. This is just a regulations
okay.
report and update.
Hey, Tom,
okay.
This is Shelly. I I know you said you weren't going to read it. Just could you just read the section that it is that you're talking about? Because you're saying you weren't going to read it, but you're just going to omit it because it's already there. Just read that little section of it. That's all I'm requesting.
Sure. Let me just find it. You're talking about the mandatory training clause?
Just for clarity and understanding, I remember everybody has the same. Yeah.
No, I got it right here. Stand by.
Thank you.
Okay, here it is. Just bear with me. I'm on CCTV, so I might read it a little slow. But okay, there's one version. Well, it's the same version, but there's one section is under promote and transfer, and one section is under the incentive program. And to be included in both, this is what we've added in. And it says, must attend annual meeting and any mandatory training or events unless excused by the vending facility supervisor and or the executive director with a satisfactory reason. In the event an operator is excused with a satisfactory reason, the annual meeting and mandatory training or events must be made up if materials are available. In parentheses, i.e., recordings, PowerPoint, or documents in an accessible format, etc. And what we discussed yesterday was putting a time frame for them to make up those mandatory trainings or listen to the annual meeting or what have you. But my point is that come January, when you put your application in for promote transfer, you have to have these trainings, you have to do this stuff. So you don't really have to say it has to be done in a month or 2 weeks. It's already in the regulation. You can't be part of the promote transfer or the incentive program if you don't make up these mandatory trainings. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's just to add, you know, one thing with regulations is you want the wording there if needed, but, you know, that sometimes you want to leave them a little, you don't want to add language that's already kind of there, if you follow me. All right. So any committee member that would like to make a motion to accept these regulations, or I should say, accept to move them on to the agency for the next step, I'll entertain a motion.
I motion to accept.
Is that Chad?
Yep.
Okay, Chad Farr makes a motion to accept the regulations as presented. Can I get a second?
Shelly McDermott
on a second. So I have a motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor of accepting the regulations as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Right. Any opposed, say no.
No.
Any abstentions? Then the motion carries.
Okay.
I believe there was a no. Do we have to go back for that one or no?
I was not a committee member.
Okay.
Yeah, once we receive the those amendments, we will look at this from an administrative point of view. I'll certainly include Andrew. Myself and kind of just review everything and see if there's anything from an administrative standpoint we would like to include or potentially remove just because it may be historic language, and it may no longer be applicable to today's time. So thank you. Thank you guys for working on those. That's if you can be that on the agenda going forward. And hopefully we can come to mutual satisfaction to be able to then take that and move it up and along to the next level for a permanent adjustment. Okay. So moving along, new business, operator facilities updates. Well, at this time we currently have 14 facilities in operation. This number does include the seasonal locations, Gillette Castle, Rocky Neck, Hammond Acid. Either closed or they're set to close at the end of their operating season. In addition, we have four community colleges in which have resumed at this time. grateful for that. You know, we're playing a close eye on each of those locations because obviously the population isn't what we anticipated, I'd say, for majority of the colleges. However, I think that keeping a strong eye, keeping the field staff in close proximity to each of these locations, we will fine-tune, and we should be fine-tuning and making our adjustments to operate these locations and also identify the worthiness to be able to continue to operate through this fall semester. So, you know, certainly we have to be of the mind that going back into a situation is not, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a grind. It's not going to bring the revenue in which you may have had in 2019. And we have to anticipate that. The one thing that we are trying to do, in particular for these community colleges, is weather the storm, is to understand this and to not lose our shirt while trying to weather the storm. Now, if it's identified that we are losing our shirt trying to weather the storm, then we need to make note of that and bring that to my attention right away so I can have the conversations with the administration within those colleges to see what we can do. I'm not a fan of just quitting because something just doesn't seem like it's working. I want to be sure that on our end of responsibility, we fully exhaust our plan of action and the necessary changes that may be required to stay afloat before we have those discussions of potential closure, if that ever comes to the case. I am looking at the daily numbers at majority of your locations, and I've seen numbers slowly increase. So we remain hopeful. It's going to be a grind. It's going to be a grind, but we got to understand, we got to keep a fine balance as to our approach and our position with providing a service. And that balance is you as an operator understanding the grind and, you know, turning no profit. Anything above the dollar, above a dollar is considered a profit during these times. However, we also want to ensure we have building satisfaction maintained as well. So, you know, we want to protect our future in these locations. In addition, remember that we are going to get out of this situation. You know, COVID will eventually be a pastime discussion. I believe the colleges will not go 100% remote down the line. I believe there's always going to be the need to be in college in the physical in some capacity. So these are times which we just have to weather and stay close to remain as a team, and we have to move and manage our day-to-day responsibilities in a manner that aligns to the population that we have to serve. In addition to the colleges, we have a courthouse that has resumed in New Britain. We have the three micro markets. You know, Frank is at Bombardier and DOL, and Shelby's running the 470. We're in that transition period there. We have the vending location in Wallingford, and then we have the gift shop at CVH operating. So we're slowly picking up, you know, but I think the key is, again, we do know there has to be a population to really be able to kind of turn a new leaf and identify our new position in a lot of these establishments. Unfortunately, during the pandemic, we lost some facilities. In particular, the DMV concessions. As many of you know, the DMV, if you don't know, has initiated processes that are pretty much 100% online to its max capacity at the moment to provide patrons the ability to take care of a host of different responsibilities and essentially eliminating the need to wait for services at the DMV. You know, the one thing that I've observed, and as well as others, yes, there's still mass amounts of people who are attending or going to the DMV on a day-to-day basis, but the one thing that you may notice are the people are on the outside waiting to get in. So, you know, that's a significant difference, and with besides that, that eliminates the need to wait while in the DMV for the necessary service that you require. So, you know, having the population on the outside does no benefit to concessions on the inside. Therefore, you know, DMV has realized the process in which they've implemented has gone extremely smooth. Essentially eliminating any wait time in any capacity in which you go to the DMV on the inside again. Therefore, they feel there's no need to resume concession opportunity at five of their locations. Can someone please press *6, whomever is in the background? We need you to *6 to mute your phone. Please *6 your phone if you are the one with the background noise, please. Thank you. Therefore, so again, we lost five DMV locations. I have placed those operators on the promotion and transfer list, respectfully, because this is to no fault of their own as to the loss, and therefore, should opportunities come up in the future, those operators will be evaluated off the promotion to transfer list to be considered for potentially opportunity in the manner based off of their seniority as we stand, as it were, I should say, currently acknowledge on the promotion and transfer list seniority. So, you know, it is daunting. It unfortunately, as Katrina stated, COVID's not done, and therefore, it's definitely rocky times. However, you know, all we can do is take it day to day and put a focus on our individual locations and really change our mindset to a point where it's more of gratitude, first and foremost, of the continued opportunity, even during these tough times. I think that's important. I think we have to be grateful for the continuous opportunity, even if we're not making the money that we're looking to make. It's the fact that you still have the opportunity. And I don't want anyone on this call to lose focus of that, because the minute, as we see here with the DMV, the minute a facility decides to change their entire concept, we can't battle that if they're not looking to resume in the capacity in which the Randolph-Shepherd program is designed to offer. So we have to keep that in mind. In addition, when we're in these locations, we have to do our best, and we have to ensure that customer service is on the forefront. We have to be grateful, we have to be thankful, we have to be accepted. It's important more than ever that, you know, we just do our best and we adjust our business practice accordingly on the fly. As Katrina stated, we cannot think we're going back to locations or resume operations in the method that you did in 2019. You will fail. Let me be clear, you will fail. Because of the fact that there's, to Katrina's point again, to refer back, there's a loss of population, and there's a need to be aggressive in capturing sales. You know, population dictates your salary to some extent, but there's another piece, and that's the grind. Your grind also dictates your salaries. So it's going to be a grind. It's going to be a grind, and nothing less of it. So just stay committed, stay focused, stay in tune. Work with your field rep. Respect your field rep's ideas. You know, I think let's not dismiss anything from a field rep's suggestion. It's literally all hands on deck. You know, I think everybody deserves mutual respect. You know, sitting in this position, I don't really consider, I have a supervisor title, but I consider myself as a teammate. You know, and I think that's how we have to view. We are a team. We represent Connecticut, right? We're Connecticut. We're not an individual entity. So we have to be patient. We have to understand that. You know, the world doesn't revolve around just your location when you have this, you know, abrupt hiccup in your day-to-day business. Everybody's having these hiccups. You know, outside of the Randolph-Shepherd program, it is a complete mess out here in the real world, in the food industry. We all know that, so we have to understand that. We have to have patience. You know, equipment fails, and you gotta have patience, because that company in which we use is also short-staffed, just like you're short-staffed, and just like the building is short-staffed. Everybody is short-staffed. So things that may have gotten done in 2019 promptly, we have to prepare for delay. And we have to just keep moving and utilize our brains to say, okay, how can I continue to function during this time of delay or this intermittent hiccup? So I just feel the need to, you know, state those points in regards because it's important. What's that? I think I covered my bases on that. Next, we have the statewide vending contract provider update. I don't know if Tracy is available to update us all with this, but I will see. Tracy, are you available? Okay. I know she had to take an important call, so let's continue on and we can revert back to that. Because I would prefer Tracy to update everyone in regards, so we will definitely double back on that. Okay, so case rebate reallocation of funds committee vote. Last year, a motion was carried last year regarding a request to have the reallocation of case rebate money for the locations operated by the vending facility operator to go to those specific vending facility operators. That motion by Brandy, followed by Shelley. I am in favor of this request this year. Should the committee look to vote in favor? Certainly understanding that we still are in COVID and operators are still either just getting on their feet or not in operation. So I am in favor of this request. Should the committee want to re-review that? But I do want to add one thing onto this call. I want to make it clear that this request should always be in consideration of the program budget. You know, I think that's always first and foremost. We got to protect our program. But eventually, as I updated you all earlier in regards to our budget, we certainly could withstand transfer of funds this time. So, Chairman, I will forward this to you for a motion in regards to the rebate of reallocation of funds.
Thank you, and I would reiterate, when we're talking about program funds, obviously, we're here to make money for blind operators throughout the state. That's, that's why we come to work, and that's why we're in this program. But be mindful of, without a program, there are no operators, there are no facilities, you don't have jobs. So I'm saying that in the future, if the program, once we all get back to work, hopefully, and, our expenses start getting back up there with commercial fines, each year, rather than giving the money to the operators, we may need to keep it into the program to keep ourselves funded and keep ourselves going. So be mindful of that. It's going to be a yearly vote. That said, and what Tyrell just kind of said, is that we are in a decent place as a program this year. We didn't have the expenses because we were all closed. This case rebate isn't going to, not everyone's going to benefit, those locations that were closed were closed, but the few open, they weren't open to full capacity. So they were working throughout the pandemic, but their sales are down, their income is down, and I think the important time to take care of each other, during this tough time. So I would entertain a motion. I would support reallocating the case rebate funds to the operators that are eligible, and I'll entertain a motion from somebody from the committee, please.
I have a question, Keith. I had a senior moment there for a quick second. I don't know if you or Tyrell can go back over it. I know I seconded it, but I can't really. I got the gist of it from your viewpoint just a second ago, but I was wondering if somebody could go back into a little brief synopsis of what this was for all those who probably weren't on the call before, so they get a grasp of what's going on.